It's All Things Considered on KUT. I'm Nathan Bernier. Early voting starts Monday for the November 4th election, and to help you head to the polls with as much information as possible, we've been giving you a rundown of some of the state's key races, along with telling you just what those offices actually do. To help navigate us through all this, I'm joined once again by KUT's political reporter, Ben Philpott. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Nathan.
Today, let's talk about the office that some people say, I've heard this, that it's the most powerful office in the state of Texas, lieutenant governor, which might be counterintuitive because isn't he below the governor if you were looking at a flow chart?
You know, it's kind of like they're off to the side a little bit, almost like they have different powers and duties. And they do have different powers and duties. So why don't we start with what those powers are with the lieutenant governor and, you know, why people consider them so important. First up, the lieutenant governor gets to be governor if the governor dies, and even if the governor just leaves the state for a few days. The Texas Constitution says you can't be governor of Texas when you're not physically in the state of Texas.
So when Rick Perry was in Europe over the last few days, David Dewhurst was the governor.
Unless David Dewhurst happened to leave the state, which when Governor Perry was running for president a couple years back, that would happen. David Dewhurst would be the acting governor, but he would have to leave the state
okay.
for some reason.
You're getting way ahead of me. I'm too slow for this.
So that's all nice, but Sherry Greenberg says that that's not where the power of the office actually lies. Greenberg is a former state rep and now lecturer at the LBJ School of Public Affairs.
The lieutenant governor appoints all the committee chairs of the committees in the Senate, determines where the bills are going to be sent and to what committees and the timing.
So that doesn't really appear to be so powerful at first glance, but remember that every bill has to come through a Senate committee before it then gets to the Senate floor for a final vote. Getting passed by the Senate is tough enough, but it's impossible if your bill never even gets out of committee, which makes the lieutenant governor's power to pick where to send a bill very important. Hugh Brady was at the UT Law School. He's the former director of the school's legislative lawyering clinic.
Well, he can always send it over here, you know, to state affairs where he stacked it with his friends instead of over to, say, Health and Human Services, where maybe he doesn't have as many friends.
The lieutenant governor still, of course, has power over a bill. Even if it does make it out of committee, the lieutenant governor decides when a bill comes up for a vote on the Senate floor, when to recognize a senator for any floor action. So lots of power. But power that Sherry Greenberg says, since it's not dictated by the Texas Constitution or even state law, can be taken away very easily.
If the members were to choose to give them, make them less powerful, they could do so.
Almost all of the lieutenant governor's powers derive from the rules passed by the Senate at the beginning of each legislative session. So each session starts with a decision by senators. How strong do we want our leader to be?
And I guess that question won't really be answered until voters decide who is going to be Texas lieutenant governor, right? Can you tell us a little bit about the candidates?
Sure. The two top candidates are Republican State Senator Dan Patrick and Democratic State Senator Leticia Vandepute. Let's start with the Republican. Patrick defeated current Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst and others in a crowded primary this spring. His top priority, according to most of his campaign ads, is securing the Texas border with Mexico.
While ISIS terrorists threaten to cross our border and kill Americans, my opponent falsely attacks me to hide her failed record on illegal immigration. Here's the truth.
Leticia Vandepute opposed putting National Guard troops on the border, would send millions to Central American governments instead, and wrote the law giving in-state tuition to illegal immigrants.
National security begins with border security, and that begins with the Texas Rangers and National Guard. Washington's failed us. As Lieutenant Governor, border security will be my top priority.
Tough talk from Patrick, but hasn't his border rhetoric, it's gotten some negative publicity as well, hasn't it?
Yes, especially during the GOP primary. We had a few prominent Hispanic Republicans and Hispanic business leaders come out and either say that they were going to vote against Patrick, or at the very least, they said they were concerned that his campaign could be a step back for the state Republican Party's goal of, you know, trying to woo more Hispanics to the party. So more recently, in a Dallas Morning News endorsement of Senator Vandepute, the editorial board said Patrick's primary governing tools are, quote, fear and division. But it's also a message that the Tea Party likes, and right now that's the main block of voters driving the Republican Party.
You said he was criticized during the GOP primary. Did he modify his message in the general election, trying to maybe appeal to a broader electorate?
Yes, he has. And in fact, really, until the ad that we just heard talking about ISIS coming across the border, he's actually focused much more on his proposals for cutting taxes and limiting state spending. He's really been pushing this idea of cutting property taxes and making up for some of that lost revenue with increased sales taxes, although he hasn't really offered a very detailed plan of just how he would do that, since, of course, the state doesn't collect property taxes in the first place. That's municipalities like city and county governments and the school districts.
Right. This Texas Constitution bans a statewide property tax, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So what about Senator Patrick's opponent, Senator Vandepute?
Well, Vandepute has tried to capitalize on any of those concerns with more moderate or traditional business Republicans, the concerns that they have with Patrick. She's pushed her work with veterans in the Texas Senate and highlighted her goals to invest in state infrastructure like water, transportation, education. That's something that chambers of commerce, you know, love to hear, and it's spending that she says Senator Patrick has not supported in the past.
May 2011. On the line, $5 billion in cuts to schools, 11,000 teacher jobs. Dan Patrick voted to cut. I voted to protect our schools. 2 years later, many Republicans realized the price was too high and worked with me to restore some of those cuts to protect our economic future. Proof we can work together. But for a second time, Dan Patrick voted against our kids. If education isn't your priority, you're not prepared to leave Texas.
Okay, Ben, so who's ahead going into early voting? I think I have an idea, but you tell me.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sounding like a broken record this week. But as with the attorney general and comptroller races, this is a red state, and polls show Patrick with a good lead.
KUT's political reporter Ben Philpott bringing us these mini civics lessons in the afternoon this week. I appreciate it, Ben. You'll be back with another one tomorrow looking at the governor's race.
That's right. We'll talk about who's going to replace Governor Perry.
Thanks for your time, Ben.
Thank you.